We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
8:17 now. We're joined by David Hammer from WWL-TV, a friend of ours. And I'm talking about the Kalis collapse. And I don't think it's fair to call it the Hard Rock collapse because, David Hammer, welcome and good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Tommy?
Well, sir, I don't think Hard Rock was involved with this before construction started, or were they?
Right. Hard Rock International, the hotel company, was not involved. The first time that we really saw them actively involved, in fact, was when Kalis, the owner, needed to get some money to be able to pay for the demolition of the cranes back in October. And they wired some money quickly to get that paid for in time.
I'm looking at a press release from Hard Rock International. It's dated February 27th, 2018, New Orleans property. Hard Rock International, rather, to bring legendary vibe to the French Quarter with Hard Rock Hotel in spring of 19. So this thing was supposed to happen, open rather, in the spring of 2019. And here we are approaching the spring of 2020. It's collapsed, and we're not even close to tearing it down, are we?
Well, that's what it looks like. Obviously, we've seen a lot of delays with the teardown schedule. And now, as of last week, the city appears to be somewhat confident that we're going to get this thing moving. And they've got this demolition guy, D.H. Griffin, in place. But there's not actually a finished contract on that. And this is the thing that I think people haven't really understood and want to know, why is it taking so long? And the reason is, unlike with those crane implosion in late October, this is not being controlled by the government entity. The state stepped in with an emergency declaration back then and made sure that everything got done before that storm was supposed to come in.
And that's the crane demolition, David, you're talking about?
The crane demolition, okay. just bringing down those cranes. And if everybody remembers, there was these very intense moments. It was done over a weekend. Mm-hmm. It was very, nerve-wracking, and we weren't sure, even after we saw those cranes come down, if it was a successful mission. They feel like it was a success. There's, still impaled in Rampart Street, a portion of that crane, and people are, feeling uneasy about a implosion of the entire building. But unlike that time, here we have the owner, Kalis, and the demolition contractor will have to do this as a private deal. It's not something where the city can control that contract. So that's part of the reason why it's taking so long.
I don't want to get sued, and you did this. This is your job. So when we come back, here's my thing, David. Okay, it was horrible for the remains to be exposed, right? But you can't blame that on a tarp. You got to blame everything that led up to this moment, to those remains being up there since last October. And that's what I want you to try to do for us here, take us back. Because, again, it's not just a picture of that. It's a motion picture that led up until that. I want to go down a little bit into the story of Kalis and the developer and something that happened between him and his son. And I think it goes to the integrity of who it is we're dealing with here. And more when we come back. Okie dokie?
Sounds good.
Thank you. David Hammer, WWL-TV investigative reporter, 820. We continue to talk about the Kalis collapse. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL. 824, Tommy Tucker spending an hour with David Hammer, WWL-TV investigative reporter, about the Kalis collapse and the remains that were unfortunately revealed over the week, and they put up a new tarp yesterday. So, David, take us back to the history of the Kalis company, if you will, and the developers and the people involved and so forth, please.
Sure. So they own a lot of property around town, and I found out back in 2012 that they were hired on by the Jindal administration to be construction monitors for the small rental program. That was the program that was done after Katrina to try to help landlords rebuild their properties. And they were supposed to monitor construction progress on all of these projects around South Louisiana. And it turns out that while they were billing for that time, they were actually building a mansion for Kalis's sons and doing all kinds of work on other recovery programs. And I was able to establish that they were, you know, falsifying their billing. And the federal government took up the case and actually convicted Mohan Kalis's son, Praveen, of theft of government funds, and he went to prison for 30 months. So as that sentencing was happening in Sarah Vance's courtroom in federal court, she actually turned to Mohan Kalis, the patriarch, and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself for letting your son take the fall for you. This was your company. This was your deal." And I tried to get him to comment at the time, and he ran away from me and wouldn't talk. And then fast forward, and this building collapses on October 12th. And the very next Monday, 2 days later after the collapse, I went to see Kalis's office. And as soon as he saw me, he ran away again. So he's not been willing to answer questions about this. And it certainly raises a lot of concerns that people have about the way that he's been doing business.
I would guess he may have contributed a dime or two to the Jindal campaign.
Yeah, I think it was $38,000, if I remember correctly. It's been several years since I did that investigation, right. But it was also in-kind stuff, and he provided the office space for the campaign headquarters and was up there on the stage with Jindal when he won his election and things like that.
All right, let's talk about 1031 Canal Street, LLC.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's actually 1031 Canal Development.
Development,
LLC,
okay.
Which is the name of the ownership group. And it's interesting because 1031 Canal Development, LLC spokespeople have confirmed that this is a partnership between Mohan Kalis, Todd Trosquare from All-Star Electric, and Denzel Clark from Citadel, which is the building company.
Are we separating the All-Star Electrical and Citadel from these individuals, or are they one and the same?
That's a good question, because none of the documentation about that company actually shows their ownership. It's all Mohan Kalis.
Okay.
And Kalis is owned companies. There's a layers of companies that he owns that are part of the ownership structure of 1031 Canal Development. And there was actually a company, it's funny that you say 1031 Canal, because there's a company also called 1031 Canal that's part of the ownership of 1031 Canal Development.
So it seems to me, and we'll pick it up here when we come back, David, that this is a spider web of who, and that's why I asked you about, are we talking about individuals separate from All-Star Electric or Citadel? Because in terms of liability, this is a spider web as to who's on the hook and who isn't. And again, in terms of 1031 Canal Development, is Kalis the guy that is liable for this, or does it go down to the other two owners as well?
Every document that I've seen connected with this project only lists him or Kalis companies as any kind of owner of record.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. If you have any questions or comments, 260-1870. We're going to talk about the timeline of this, too. It happened last October. The cranes come down. Implosion, explosion. Now I think we're back to implosion. Meanwhile, the remains stay there. A tarp blows off. And unfortunately, people see that, and it's terrible for the families. But again, we got to look at everything that led up to this. Taking a break right now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. Cohen. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Hammer from WWL TV about the Kalis collapse. Again, Hard Rock didn't get involved with this project until after the construction had started, and I don't think it's fair to call it the Hard Rock collapse at all, because they didn't have anything to do with this. The builder did, Kalis. 1031 Canal Development, LLC, Kalis is the name on the documents, I guess. Judge Sarah Vance once told this Mohan Kalis that he threw his son basically under the bus, saying that he let his son take the fall for him. That was in court. David Hammer tried to interview him twice, I think it was, David, and he ran away from you?
Yeah.
So this is hardly. I've
tried to get him to, you know, explain what happened, both with the issue that led to his son's imprisonment that I investigated back in 2012, and now since this collapse of the hotel project.
So in my opinion, this is less than an honorable man. To take us through it, David, okay, the hotel collapses, they explode the cranes, a controlled demolition. Then we hear, was it implosion, and then it changes to explosion, and now we're back to implosion, or do I have that backward?
Well, I think that it was going to be implosion, then there was going to be a take it down piece by piece kind of a thing. And then it's back to implosion. But let me just say this about the Kalis issue that you're talking about. I think it's important to point out that the investigation of who is ultimately responsible for this and whose mistakes led to this collapse has not been completed. I've done several stories over the last few months looking at possible problems, the fact that workers were alerting people or doing videos and trying to point out some of the engineering and shoring issues and some of the missteps that may have led to this collapse. But that investigation, which is a criminal investigation led by OSHA, is ongoing. And I just, you know, we don't know exactly how intimately involved Kalis or other members of his management team were in making those decisions, how much was being made by the builders, Citadel Builders, by the engineers, Heathcliff engineers. So there's a lot of players involved here, and I just want to make that point.
I think it's unfair
for you to say that, you know, it's important to keep in mind this guy's history and the fact that he hasn't been answering questions. But I want to point that out just to be clear.
No, I'm glad you did, and I think that's fair enough. Along the lines of the investigation, is it investigation, litigation that has held up the dismantling of this? Because it seems as though the date keeps getting pushed back.
That's a good question. I think litigation is playing a role because there was a order in Kern Reese's court several months ago for preservation of evidence. Essentially, no action can be taken without approval of the various parties regarding preservation of evidence. And that is going to be a factor in actually doing the deed here and getting this thing imploded. The bigger factor, it appears, has been issues with funding and the fact that the owner, 1031 Canal Development, Kalis, however you want to refer to them, has to come to an agreement with his insurance company to be able to pay for this. And it's interesting that just yesterday they put out a statement, 1031 Canal Development did, saying that the city has control of the site. Well, to a certain extent they do. They're putting a lot of money and time into watching the site and making sure that it's secure. But ultimately, this is out of the city's hands for legal reasons, for insurance reasons. And that's what's been taking so long, trying to figure out if the insurance company is going to pay for this kind of implosion.
So whose hands is it in?
Ultimately, it is in Kalis/1031 Canal Development's hands. And they are the ones who have to do an independent contract with this D.H. Griffin, who was brought out in the press conference as the person who's going to do the implosion. That, my understanding is, as of yesterday, that contract has not been signed. But all expectations from the city is that that is who's going to do this. And that's the same person who did the implosion of the cranes back in late October.
So at that point, is it, in terms of signing the contract, is it investigation, is it litigation, or are we talking about financial concerns here with negotiating price back and forth? Do you have any idea?
It appears to be mostly financial, and, you know, that came into play, as I reported, back when they did the rushed emergency crane implosion. There was some issues, and Kalis did not wire the money that was necessary, and that's when he actually called on Hard Rock Hotel International, the company that owns the hotels, to come in and actually help pay the last $1 million that he was having, I guess, trouble getting because it wasn't paid on time. And that was a big factor in actually being able to pull the trigger. And because if you recall, they kept pushing that back day after day. It was going to be one day, then it was the next, and then it ended up being on a Sunday. And they got it done because the money was finally transferred. So financial issues are definitely playing a role here.
People that are blaming City Hall, the mayor, is it in her hands at all, or is this beyond what the city can do? And now it is all up to Kalis to sign a deal to get the thing dismantled and have the remains removed.
It appears to be in the city's hands in that they can influence things, that they can push things in a certain direction, but ultimately it is not in their hands. I think some people are frustrated because it was presented as if the city's declaration of emergency was going to give them authority here, and they presented it as if we're in control of this. And while they are controlling the site for, you know, safety purposes and security, they are not ultimately making the decision, the financial decisions, the legal decisions that have to be made to get this thing done. And that's really where the disconnect has been and why people are frustrated at the city, and it may not be totally on the city at this point to get this done.
So if, David, and I know this is an oversimplification, I'm looking for somebody to blame for the remains of that poor worker being visible to the public, I would blame whom?
Well, I'm not in that game as far as...
No, but who would be responsible for it, I guess, David? Because a lot of people are outraged, and I'm just wondering, outraged at who?
It looks to me like you need to focus on the people who are responsible for this happening in the first place. The city, you know, you can talk about the city allowed them to do things beyond some of the previous limits in terms of how tall the building was going to be. They allowed them to make changes in the plans. We still need to look at how much the Safety and Permits Department played a role in allowing things to happen that shouldn't have happened. But ultimately, it's on the people who were doing the job and were running this job. And that's what the criminal investigation and what I'm going to continue to work on trying to get to the bottom of.
All right, so in terms of...
I think a lot of people put putting a lot on the city in terms of this body being visible now because the tarp blew out of the way. I mean, they have been trying to work with these families to figure out how to deal with this in the most humane way, in a way that the families agree with. And
David, we got to go, and I appreciate your time. Let me get a quick yes or no in, real quick. Is the only thing standing in the way of that hotel coming down or the collapse coming down and the bodies being removed, Kalis signing a contract and having the money to get it torn down with somebody?
That's what it looks like.
All right. Thank you, David. We appreciate it. 8:53. Sorry to give you the bums rush. We'll have you on again. Traffic now, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.